This is MSO News. I'm Rick Moore, and we're joined now. It's been a long time coming. It's been too long since we've been talking with the Gloucester Fire Department Chief Eric Smith. And Chief Smith, welcome back to MSO. Here we are, almost ready for summer in 2025. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, spring has sprung, right?
We can only hope. I have to ask you now, with the mix of warning from the state about drought conditions in eastern Massachusetts, but also with the rain we've had on consecutive weekends, what is the status now of the fire department's stance with respect to the drought, with respect to the fact that burning season is over, and the concern for wildfires?
Yeah, so we're, you know, obviously the burn season is wrapped up or is wrapping up. Do we close on the 1st of May, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to double check.
Yep,
I always got to look at the calendar. I'm like, do we start on the 1st or the 15th of January, and do we end on the 1st or the 15th of May? And I don't participate in burning at all myself on my property, so it's always one of those things that, yeah, we own it, we manage it, we deal with it, but honestly, my people handle all of that. Is pretty straightforward and simple, and they do a great job. So, yeah, we're either at or ended with open burning, with legal open burning. The only kind of burning folks can do at home is obviously legitimate, safe cooking fires. If you have a fire pit or a chimney, outdoor fireplace, those are also allowed under the outdoor burning regulations that are part of the city's ordinance. And complies with the state law, and so those are allowed. But again, if you're creating too much smoke, if you've got embers flying out that you're not managing, you know, keeping, you know, an appropriate fire, if you got a lot of embers coming out, then that's not an appropriate recreational fire. It's becoming unsafe, and we're going to make you shut it down. So, you know, we're not out driving around looking for these things. I mean, the public is our eyes and ears, and they do a great job when people are doing things they probably shouldn't do that are increasing risk for the community. We tend to get a phone call, so just don't do it. You know, pay attention to what you're doing. Have, you know, safe cooking fires. If you got a little fire pit in the back, you know, keep the screen over it so you don't have embers flying around. If you're creating a bunch of smoke, then you're not doing it right, and you're using the wrong product, and you're irritating your neighbors. So, you know, just the good neighbor policy goes a long way, and you will avoid us showing up telling you, hey, you got to put it out, and then we're going to wet down your fire and make a big mess in your you know, burning appliance, your chimney or your outdoor fireplace, what have you, and people are upset, and it's, you know, it's a matter of safety. We're still in critical drought. Last I checked for Essex County, I know our reservoirs have come up pretty good. I wouldn't say, you know, we're full. We're certainly not full by any stretch. Last measurements that I heard, we're not there yet, and we probably won't get there as soon as the rains stop and the heat is back and evaporation and daily water usage, you know, we're going to be hammering that reservoir system and our potable water reserves, and you know, we're probably going to either remain or increase water restrictions. So, you know, I just caution the folks about those kind of fires that we are routinely having around our properties, right? The ones that people decide to go out and do in the woods that are probably not the folks that are listening to this interview. They have a different lifestyle, and they kind of do what they want, when they want, where they want. And, you know, burning out of the woods is not legal. If you're not on your property, you should not be starting a fire, regardless of how good, careful, or otherwise you are. That is not allowed. You're not allowed to have open burning. As I said, reference back to what is a legal recreational fire in this city, and you can't have it really anywhere but your property.
Chief, let me ask you, let me interrupt you here and ask you, because it just popped into my head. I haven't asked you this question before, but I know that in the past, and thank God it's been very rare, there have been people who have started fires at night on a beach, whether it's Good Harbor, Wingersheep, or otherwise, and I know that of course it's not legal, and when you cover that up with sand, that doesn't really take care of the problem. So maybe you could explain to me what the danger is of a fire on a beach.
Yeah, so the biggest problem with the fires on the beach, I mean, obviously, depending on where you're at, you get over to Wingershiek, and people like to go around the private side, and you're up against the marsh, and if it's real dry, and that stuff's dried up, and it does, it burns like the devil if you get it going, especially if you're tucked in, trying to hide from the public so they don't rat you out, and we come over and ruin your good time. But, you know, there's a reason for that. It's not safe to do it because, A, you could get those marshlands and grasses and stuff going, and when they take off, they go quick. And I don't care what an individual might think they can do, you're not going to stop it, right? We have a hard time stopping it, and we're really good at this, and we have the equipment for it. So just don't. The second piece is just public safety. I mean, when you start a fire, and especially if it is not going to burn all the way down to nothing, and if you cover it up when you're leaving and it was still either burning or hot, when you bury it with sand, you know, that contains the heat, that leaves the heat with all those embers and coals, and they kind of will smolder under there. There's probably not a huge risk of that getting loose and starting a fire in the grass and whatnot, but when people come back on the beach, they're going to burn their feet. The kids are going to dig into that stuff. So the Parks and Rec piece of DPW has the rules and regulations in place. It is a finable offense. You're not allowed to have a fire on the beach, period. End of story. You can't have an open flame cooking fire in any of the city's parks except Stage Fort, which has a appropriate receptacle for hot coals, all for the same reason. That A, we don't want you dumping them in the trash and you start a trash can on fire. We don't want you just dropping them wherever you feel like because they become a hazard from some kid or pet or something walking, right? So this is just kind of common sense stuff that some folks that are living in their own world and don't think of anybody but themselves, they just do what they want, and then the rest of us have to deal with the impacts of that. So just ask those of you that do listen and do actually have some concern for others on the planet besides yourself to act accordingly and think it through that, you know, there's reasons for these rules and regulations, and a lot of it is just the general public safety piece. You know, you don't go out breaking glass bottles on the beach and then just bury them in the sand. Why, you want your kid to cut their feet later? Same idea, same premise.
All right. And, you know, it's funny when you say common sense, but then you have to hammer home the fact. I'm not sure there is common sense, so I appreciate your spelling it out.
I think there's a lot of it out there, but from time to time, people, they want to do what they want to do, and they just shut that part of their brain off, and it's inappropriate. It'll get you in trouble. It can cause some significant problems and put lives at risk if you do it in a really foolish spot at a bad time. Then it's not just somebody cuts their foot, burns their foot, you know, stubs a toe on a piece of wood that you buried, right? You light up a field on fire, get somebody's house burning, they can't get their kid out. I mean, it's kind of taking it to the extreme, but it is certainly possible, and people need to keep that in their mind. If you're going to have a recreational fire, do it on your property, do it appropriately, and follow the ordinances and safety precautions. That's all we ask. It's pretty simple and straightforward. If you don't own a property to do that, find somebody that has it. Go hang out with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go for a boat ride, I can't afford a boat, I don't have a boat, I find a friend with a boat. Okay, go for a boat ride.
So, there you go.
You know, there's ways around. Think
all right.
Through, folks. You know.
Okay, there are a lot of... There is a lot of helpful information available, Chief, and I wonder if you could maybe just guide us to the best way for a homeowner, for example, a new homeowner, maybe someone moving from an apartment to a home, might avail themselves to the information that's available in terms of everyday activities or emergencies and how they can contact the fire department and under what circumstances they should contact the fire department.
Yeah, sure. So that's kind of a lot to unpack, but I'll hammer it real quick. The city's website is actually a great resource. It's not super flashy. It's not an awesome social media platform and all that, but there is a ton of information there. You know, there is a search function on it that works pretty well. But for those that are looking for specifically fire prevention and safety tips, you know, things about our community wildfire protection plan and the public resources we have in place, I would direct all of them to go right to the main page for the fire department. And then once you're on the city's website and into the fire department section, As you go down that main page for us, there's a link to the Community Wildfire Protection Plan and those resources, one for fire prevention things, a whole bunch of fire safety tips, and stuff about open burn permits and regulations. I mean, obviously that season is over, but it's there if anybody needs to look at it to kind of take a look at where they're at and what they can and cannot do maybe for next year. But, you know, specific to that Community Wildfire Protection Plan, a lot of energy at the regional level. We did it, you know, as Cape Ann did it all together. We were fortunate enough to get a grant from the state, so we have a good friend up there who's the chief fire warden for DCR, who was able to get us grant funding to put this plan forward. And this plan not only gives us, you know, this large plan for the whole region about how we should manage cohesively that risk of wildfire and that wildland interface. You know, we don't really think of it kind of like they do out west because it's not the same. But with the drought conditions and the condition of the woods, we're approaching that higher level of risk that you see with wildfires out west in some areas around us, right? And we've all seen it over the years. We know what's going on. Anybody that's listening to this that's paid attention to the news for 10 minutes in the last few years has heard about it, right? We've had a lot of big fires, even in our area, that do put properties at risk. And mostly they're burning up our woods and our open space. They are encroaching towards, you know, people's private properties. And that's the bigger concern that I have. We have a lot of houses that abut and are into our woodlands. And quite honestly, we've been, I wouldn't say lucky, because we do a pretty good job and we know where people's structures and homes are. We know which way the fire's moving, and we make concerted effort to protect people's property. That's the job, right? Life safety, property conservation, and so stabilization. So we have done a great job of not letting the fires that we've had get to people's property. But that may not always be possible, right? And the more risk people take and the worse the conditions get out there in the woods with the fire load, the more people need to take, and they really should do that now, take a proactive stance to protect their own property, right? Creating what we call defensible space, hardening your home from the impact of wildland fire or brush fire that may be encroaching towards your property, to give you some space from it, to maybe put materials on the outside of your home that are more resilient to if you're going to be, you know, putting shrubs and bushes and plantings around your home, which ones are more resilient to fire that aren't going to catch on fire themselves and then start the siding on your house on fire, ones that are less apt to burn freely, right, that still look pretty and still get the job done for your landscape, but they're not increasing your risk. All that information is available through that Community Wildfire Protection Plan page, and all you got to do is click on the link to go to that. And there's one little link in particular, kind of in red letters, says it's the Cape Ann Wildfire Protection Plan hub site, and the people that helped put this plan together for us built this for us, and it's phenomenal. When you go into there and you click on the tab for property owners and renter resources, right, and then work your way down, the local city resources for Gloucester, Essex, Manchester, Rockport, then there's also state resources and federal resources. The Northeast Cohesive Strategy Group and the Homeowner Resource Landing Page, that Homeowner Resource Landing Page is awesome, and it combines a lot of other resources from the state level and the federal level as to how to go about setting up your property to protect it from wildfire, brush fire impacts. And so anybody that's living on the fringes of our woods, I would strongly encourage you to do this and follow it and get it done, because, you know, the time is going to come at some point if the way the ecology is going and the ability to manage the forests and the funding to do so and people's efforts to kind of be in the woods, you know, those things are going to come together, and it's going to be a bad day for somebody in their property. And you know, the more you can do to help protect it, the better. It buys you time and allows us time to get over to where your property's at risk and maybe stop that fire from damaging your home, because you gave yourself a little bit of a buffer, right? It's kind of like knowing CPR. Something bad happens to your loved one, you know CPR, you know how to control bleeding, you call 911, you do all those things. we show up and the outcome is better because you jumped in and helped out during those critical first moments, right? And this is preemptive. This is preventive medicine, if you will, right? So it's, you know, doing the right things around your yard and makes a big difference for those. So that's kind of the big spiel that I have in my toolbox. I mean,
well,
be careful in the woods. Don't start fires. Don't be dumb. How about that? Just don't be dumb.
All right. I know I'm not going to be tested later, but again, all these resources we will post up on our website as well.
They are. And anybody that has any questions, feel free to call the department. I mean, you can shoot us an email. There's links on the city's website to reach out to the contacts.
I want to ask, let me interrupt you on that, Chief, because 100% correct. I needed some help with smoke detectors at one time, and I simply emailed the fire department, I believe an email, or I think I might have called, but I think it was email. And the fire department sent the fire inspector over, who was wonderful, Lieutenant Tom Sias, and he helped me understand and do stuff. And I don't want to put more work on the firefighters, but let me just ask you, in terms of general assistance, I know that your team, firefighters in general, I guess, have done things that people don't even have any clue about in helping in the community. And so I guess what I'm asking, Chief, if anybody has a question or needs some help, certainly they can call the police department or they can call the fire department.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if it's something that is, you know, a legal issue and those types of things for law enforcement or disputes and whatnot, obviously that's the law enforcement side. If it's anything outside of that, for the most part, if you, medical concerns, definitely fire prevention, fire-related issues, you know, hazmat, all those things are definitely questions that we can, that if we can't answer it, we will get you an answer. We will help direct you to the right source to deal with that. So there's some tricky pieces out there. You know, the old disposal of marine flares is always a problematic thing in this town, because obviously we're a coastal city. There's a lot of marine flares floating around. They go bad. There's no good way of getting rid of them. Don't bring them to me. I'm not getting rid of them, right? Coast Guard's probably not going to do it either. On occasion, there are ways to dispose of those that are more of a community-based effort, but it isn't very frequent, and we are not the disposal service for that. So, you know, beyond that kind of thing, you know, we're definitely there to answer, assist, and provide that assistance. Like you said, Tommy Sayas, our fire inspector, he's awesome. We get a lot of guys with the same, you know, general level of knowledge and insight into the codes and fire prevention, you know, experts in all of those things, that if one of our folks doesn't have the answer, they know who does, right? And if it doesn't exist within our department, that level of expertise for their question, we can get it from the state fire marshal's office or other resources available to us. So we encourage anybody that has any concerns, questions, to reach out, and we'll help find the answers one way or another. It may not be immediate the first time you call. It may take a little bit, but it will definitely get to the bottom of it. Stuff takes a little bit of research, but shouldn't be too big of a deal.
So you're telling me you're not going to come over here and clean out my fireplace, huh?
Yeah, probably not going to do that, but I can tell you how to do it.
Yes,
to do with
correct.
It after you get it out of there.
So, there you go. You know, and that's the
certainly help with that.
Yes.
There's always other, you know, and for folks that are in those situations, I mean, we kind of make fun of it, but it's, you know, cleaning out a fireplace might not be easy for some of the folks in town, and it might need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those resources out there. You know, you got chimney sweeps, you got maintenance folks. I mean, obviously it comes at a cost. And advice from us, and maybe even some level of assistance from us swinging by and taking a look, maybe giving a hand. We've helped install smoke detectors or direct where they should go. As you know, and spoke to, you know, you're better off talking to the inspector, the individual that's going to look at it later, if and when you sell your home, and go, that shouldn't be there. It needs to be somewhere else, and you spend more money. So it's better off asking up front and getting it resolved right the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's things that we just really can't help with directly because it's inappropriate use of city personnel or funding or efforts, right? We can't come over and shovel your driveway for you or plow your particular driveway or shovel your sidewalk. But my people have shoveled a whole lot of people's sidewalks when they show up at their homes.
Oh, boy.
And EMS calls, because we have to make it safe for our folks to get in and out of your building. So, while I'm not saying you should call 911 and report an emergency for EMS to get your sidewalk shoveled, that may be a side benefit that comes along with it. So our folks do a lot of incredible.
Well, Chief, it's a good point. I've got one more question. I know I've held you for quite a while, but I hadn't even thought of that because I know, living in New England, we tend to take care of our own properties. We tend to clean out the sidewalks and the driveways as best we can. But that's a great point, especially in the wintertime, in terms of emergency. If you never know when you're going to have an emergency in your house, middle of the night, it's icy, it's snowing, whatever, and we have to call rescue. And so it's that's a great point, and just take care of your own property.
Oh, yeah. Letting the kids pile up 12 bikes in front of the door. What happens if you have an emergency and everybody's got to get out in a hurry in the middle of the night? You're going to get hurt falling over those bikes on the way out. So again, back to the common sense thing of how do you, the appropriate use of your barbecue and appropriate recreational fires in a fire, an appropriate approved fire pit or chimney at your property, how to manage and take care of your property, keep it safe for you, your neighbor, from fire that could encroach from a neighbor's property, from the woods, all those things. Most all of it's pretty much common sense, but if you're not familiar with it or you don't really understand the concepts behind it, we have a ton of resources that we can, provide you to learn about it or teach you about it or talk to you about it and help get you through and on the right path.
Exactly. And I know, man for man, that's true. Your guys are always, as with the police department, always willing to help out. Final question, Chief Eric Smith. Staffing the general health of the fire department, new hires, promotions, retirement, that kind of thing. How are things in general at GFD?
We're good. We're struggling from time to time with it, but we're in the process right now where we put out the hiring for three, and unfortunately only got two that have made it through the process. So we still have one vacancy that we're looking to fill. We're going to be putting that out pretty soon, but we got two that are in the pipeline right now, going through the process to become eligible for employment and get them in the academy. Otherwise, we got a lot of new folks that are in paramedic school currently, graduated already from the fire academy, some recent promotions. We got a handful of temporary promotions because we unfortunately got some senior folks and some officers that are out broken from working hard on the job, and it'll be a bit till they're back. So while they're longer term absences, we'll bump people up that can fill those roles and take on those responsibilities and make sure all of that work is still getting done. And when you call and you're looking for the expert in XYZ, we have somebody that's taken that responsibility on and owns it, and we'll handle it. So it's always tricky. If money was no object, I think we'd still be struggling because, frankly, there's not as many people taking the exam to do this work. Policing is down. It's a different environment, a bit of a different world. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber and make millions of dollars, and that's just not reality for most. This is a great job. I mean, everybody that's ever done it or has been involved in it loves it. You fall in love with this job pretty easily, even if it wasn't something that was right at the top of your list. Everybody that says, I thought about it and I jumped in, and then they fall in love with it because, what's not to like? You're out helping people every day. The job is usually a little bit different every day, call to call. I mean, obviously they're similar, but it's different people all the time. And, so you work with a bunch of dedicated, caring people, and it's just super rewarding. So anybody that's thinking about it, if you see us, putting out the notice that we're hiring, get out. If you have any thought about this job at all, come see me, talk to me, and I can put you on the path of what it takes to make yourself eligible, number one, and then, what the job's about, to see if maybe it's something that people would be interested in. But we're definitely, we're gonna have a lot of turnover in the next probably 2-3 years. We're at that point, you kind of go through those phases where people are hitting that retirement age, and some go right away, some might go early, some might go late. But we probably got, a dozen or more probably retiring in the next couple of years. So there's going to be some opportunity, for local folks to jump into the fire department and come in and be part of the team. We're looking forward to it.
Always enlightening and informative, Chief. Thank you so much. Be safe, be well, and I'm going to stop by and stop in and make you make me a cup of coffee someday.
Absolutely, anytime you want. We'll see you then.
Okay, Chief. Thank you so much. Be well.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Take care. That is Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.